This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And my brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Forgive me, I'm wearing the sunglasses because I'm actually live here in Egypt in front of the pyramids and the sun's shining in my eyes, so I had to wear the sunglasses. I want to share with you a summary of the story of Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam, and his brother Aaron, the prophets, the two messengers of Allah. As the account is told to us in the Quran and through the Islamic beliefs. The story begins with the Pharaoh, whom we don't know his true name. And in fact, in the Quran, he's mentioned in a singular noun. So perhaps his name was actually Pharaoh. But maybe the term was his name and also a title for the kings of Egypt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This particular king among all the pharaohs was the one who was the greatest enemy of Allah, as stated in the Quran. And he was the one who enslaved the children of Israel. The children of Israel are the ones who belong to the great prophets and messengers, Yaqub, Jacob alayhi salam, his son Yusuf alayhi salam, and also his children, and so on. So in Islam, when we say the children of Israel, we mean the children of the progeny of the prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob. And among them was Prophet Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam, who was also an Israelite. So when we say Israelite, we don't mean the Israel of today. We mean ancient, historical lineage of the great prophets, the messengers. And there were people who we respect tremendously, the children of Israel, mentioned in the Quran and referred to. Of course, they changed later on into different types of beliefs and systems until Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam came along. The Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salam, is among the greatest of all prophets and messengers in our religion. In fact, we call him among the five most enduring and most important of messengers, Ulil Azm. He was only not even born yet when the actual Pharaoh, who was a tyrant enslaving the children of Israel, Allah says in the Quran that Pharaoh had become a great tyrant in the land, and he took himself above what he is supposed to be, turning people into factions, making people into hierarchies. These are important, these are middle, the other ones are not important. And he put the children of Israel right at the bottom. They were the people who came from Prophet Joseph. And it seems that the Coptics, they were the original people, Egyptians of this land who belonged to the pharaohs, that they had turned this into a nationalistic type of ideology. And so the children of Israel, with all their sophistication and their knowledge, they put them right at the bottom and in fact enslaved them so that they may not rise any time again. It says in the traditions of the Torah that the Pharaoh saw a dream that some child or someone is going to ruin his kingdom. And he went and asked the fortune tellers or the sages or whatever you call them, the people who interpret dreams for him, and they told him that a newborn is going to be born from the children of Israel who will grow up to destroy his kingdom. The Quran doesn't say that he had a dream. It doesn't say that a newborn is going to be born from the children of Israel who will ruin his kingdom. Not in that way, for these are legends of the past traditions of the Torah. The Quran talks about, however, that Pharaoh did kill a lot of the males of the children of Israel, and he left their women and females in the hope that they may marry from the Copts or the Egyptians, and they will become Egyptians themselves and turn them into a different race. That's the main reason we get from the Quran of why he began to kill the males. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story that his mother was inspired, that the angel Jibril told her in a dream that when your child is born, when the time comes and close to the danger, to put him in a basket and let him go into the Nile River. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he promised her that he will return her son to her in some way. This is very divine. And this is something which only the Quran speaks about, that he will return him to his mother and he will be suckled from his mother. When he was born, she waited and all the newborns and the babies were being killed, the male ones. And then in about 2 months or 3 months approximately, the danger came to her house. There's a long story to it. But to cut the story short, she put him in a basket and prepared it and made it very tightly sealed so the water doesn't get in. And then she put it into the Nile River. The Quran says that her heart became empty. What does it mean? You know, when a person's heart is so much in fear that there are even the emotions are lost. So this is the feeling that mothers generally get, obviously, that can only be described when mothers lose their baby or their child. And she told her other daughter, his sister, she was only about 12 years old or so, to follow the basket and to watch where it goes, but make herself like as if she doesn't know who that baby is. And this very cunning and intelligent young girl at the age of 12 followed the basket and acted like she was just walking around. As the basket went, it traveled until the people, the nobles of the Egyptians, noticed it and they took it. And according to the king, they were going to kill the baby. But Allah says in the Quran that He made to Moses a special love in the hearts of people. He says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Allah says, I placed in you, O Moses, a special type of love from me that whenever someone looks at you, they fall in love with you. And this was actually a miracle. When they grabbed the baby, even those people who grabbed them, while knowing it's from the children of Israel, their hearts opened to that baby and they couldn't kill it. And the one who actually made the decision was the wife of Pharaoh, Asiya alayha salam. In the Quranic tradition, it was his wife, not his daughter, who grabbed the basket. And she said to Pharaoh, please, I cannot bear children. We'd like to have children of our own. Let's take and adopt this baby to ourselves. And it says that even Pharaoh himself felt some kindness to the baby. And Allah said, he said to his mother, we shall raise him to become the enemy of Pharaoh and to obviously free the children of Israel from enslavement and call Pharaoh to justice. Subhanallah, they raised Moses from the children of Israel whom they feared to be the one that will finally carry out the command of Allah. This is also a miracle. No other woman could breastfeed Musa alayhi salam. And by the way, Moses is a Coptic word to mean Mo. Mo means water and Oshe means rescue. So the one who was rescued from the river, his name was actually Egyptian, not Israelite. No woman could breastfeed him. He couldn't suckle from anybody. And then they returned him. The sister said, I will show you someone who will breastfeed. And they are very cheap. Cheap as in they don't charge too much. And so they went around until finally the mother of Moses was breastfeeding him and he took her milk only and no other woman. And this is how Allah returned him back to his mother. And he was raised among them, learning about Allah, learning about his brother Aaron, learning about his sister and who his lineage is really from while being raised with the Egyptians. Finally, we all know the story that one time Moses alayhi salam, who was called by his relative, and an Egyptian man was fighting with him over something. So he went up to protect him. And all he did was he just poked, literally a small poke or a jab, a little jab to that Israelite man. Not knowing his strength, he immediately killed him. From a jab, he died. And then he got scared. Someone said to him, run away. The people are after you. They're going to kill you. You killed a person from the Israelites. The next day, as he was trying to watch out for who's after him, he saw his same relative having a fight with another Israelite. And he said, oh, Moses, come and help me, come and help me. And that's when Moses realized that he's a mischief, that his cousin or his relative is a troublemaker. He says, إِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ الْغَوِيُّ الْبُبِينَ. You are truly a person who is clearly trying to make trouble. So when he refused to help him, his own relative threw him under the bus. And he said, oh, do you want to then kill me? So he gaslighted him. He said to him, oh, you rejected to help me. Are you going to kill me like you killed the man yesterday from the Israelites? Meaning he's threatening him in an indirect way, that I will expose you if you don't come and help me. And so Moses ran away from him and an advisor came from the Israelites saying to him, run away, they're going to kill you. And that's how he ran away from Egypt to the place called the waters of Madian. Cutting the story short, he saw two young ladies trying to feed their own sheep. And there was a big rock which only men were around. So he went and asked these young ladies, what's your story? And they said that we want to feed our sheep, but these men are around and our father is an old man. We don't have any other males to help out. So this is why we're out here needing to work. So he went and helped them and gave all their sheep water. And then Allah says, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّ إِلَى الظِّلِّ. He went back into the shade of the trees. And then he said, oh my Lord, I am in need of your provision. I am poor and I am in need of your blessings. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned one of these girls back to him and said, my father wants to give you a reward for helping us. So he went there, and the father, we don't know if he was a prophet, but he was a righteous man. It is said that he was the prophet Shu'aib. Allah only knows best, but we cannot say for certain. It was a righteous man who said to him, I will let you marry one of my daughters. Obviously, he knew that they were interested in him, and especially one of his daughters was interested in him. And the father was very smart about that. He said, and in exchange for you to serve us for 10 years. So he said, I can do 8 years. And he chose one of them and married her and became his son-in-law. They had a child, and after the 8 years they left. On his way, he was going to settle somewhere. They saw a little fire up in the mountains. And he said to his family that we're lost, we don't know our way. Let me go to that flame over there and see if we can find help and direction. So he went into the mountain. It was Mount Sinai. And in that, or in Arabic, it's also called Jabal al-Tur. He went into that mountain, and Allah says that as he entered, he saw a flame of fire burning from the right side of where he entered. He entered into kind of like a very closed off place inside that mountain, almost like a little cave, but with nothing above it. And from the right, he saw a little tree that was growing in the hollow ground. And he heard someone calling out to him, someone calling out to him. And it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He says, Ya Musa, you are in the blessed sacred place of Tur. So take off your shoes, for this is a sacred place, and I have chosen you. So come and listen to my command. He approached closer to that tree, and Allah had spoken to him through that tree in a way that only Allah knows. And we all know the story. He said to him, you must go back to Pharaoh and save and take out the children of Israel from enslavement and call him to worship God alone. He said, oh my Lord, I fear that they're going to kill me. So send with me my brother Aaron and make him a supporter and make him a messenger with me. And in another verse he says, oh my Lord, I fear that they're going to say I'm a liar. And when I fear that, I get anxiety and I get claustrophobia, and then my tongue gets twisted and I'm not able to speak. Subhanallah. He starts to stutter. He's not able to speak from claustrophobia, from anxiety. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, don't worry. I will be your support all the way, and Aaron will be a messenger along with you and your support, for he spoke very well. He was very eloquent, Aaron. And Musa alayhi salam, knowing that he is a higher messenger than Aaron, yet he said, let my brother go with me as a support. He speaks better than me. Which shows that our talents are different. And just because someone's talent is better than another, it doesn't mean that that person is better than another person. And at the same time, people help each other. He said to him, put your hand in your pocket and release it. And his hand became white, almost with nur, with light emanating from it. And he said to him, throw your stick on the ground. He threw it on the ground and he could see that it turned into a big python, a big snake. And he says that Moses ran away from his stick. He ran away from it. And while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him, and that's the nature of human beings, we get scared. And Allah said to him, oh Moses, come back, don't fear. Grab the snake, and it turned back into a staff. He said, these are your two signs to go to Pharaoh. Now go. So he went. And in summary, he arrived at Pharaoh. And Pharaoh recognized him and said to him, did we not raise you when you were a child and support you? And in the end, you killed a soul. Don't you think about that, of your words? And he said to him, oh Pharaoh, we have come to you from your Lord Allah, and he has called you to worship him and to stop what you are doing and your injustice, and stop putting people into factions, and return my people with me, the children of Israel. Allow them to be free from your enslavement. The story goes on, we all know it. And Pharaoh became very arrogant, pride. He gathered his viziers and he gathered all his people, and among them was his special vizier Haman. And he said to him, yeah, Haman. He started becoming very sarcastic and full of arrogance. Oh, Haman, go and build me a high tower and make rocks made out of clay and make them very high so that I may rise to the aboveness to look at this so-called God of Moses and so that I may see if he's telling me the truth. Obviously, he knew that God was not just up there by climbing up a tower. But just like today, you know, in modern times, you see people, for example, saying, we've been to the moon, we've gone to Mars, we've gone to the far places of the galaxies, and we don't see a God. Yeah, these people think that somehow, I don't know how they thought that by proving God means that you've got to go up into the sky and you see him there. There's no truth to that. Anyway, he was being sarcastic, and the story goes on, where Moses came in and he showed them the miracles of his hand and the staff. And Pharaoh said to him, we will bring magicians to override you. You're trying to take our people and our land and become a god instead of me. No. Anyway, he called his magicians, and the story goes on by saying that the magicians, they thought that Moses was doing magic, so they all threw their staff on the floor. And Moses was very cunning and smart. He said, bring everyone on a day of celebration. They had a special day of celebration. Bring them all for a day of celebration to watch. He wanted to prove to everybody. And this is how you work with proving evidence, not just to people privately, but to the world. And that's why social media is a good place to speak about truth and justice, inshallah. They said, would you like to throw your staff or we throw it? And then he said to them, no, you throw your staffs, the magicians. When they threw it, Moses was hypnotized. It was a kind of sorcery of hypnosis. He could see their staff as if they were slithering like snakes. He got scared. And then Allah said to Moses, Allah used to speak directly to Moses and sometimes through the angel Gabriel. He said to him, angel Gabriel, don't be afraid. Throw your staff and you will be superior and overcome them. So he threw his staff and his staff turned into a real snake. And then it looked like it was eating the rest of the snakes. The people's hypnosis failed. And when their hypnosis went away and Moses' miracle made their eyes see the truth, they could see that they were only sticks. And the magicians knew that this was not sorcery. They immediately fell to the ground and prostrated to Allah. And they said, oh Moses, we please ask your Lord to forgive us. We now believe in the Lord of Moses, everyone. The magicians knew. So when you talk to people who know their art, these people know, especially if you are lying or not. When Pharaoh knew that the magicians had turned their religion to the belief of the religion of Moses, he became infuriated and he thought he's going to lose his kingdom. So in front of everybody, he said, bring them and tie them to the trees and cut them limb to limb until they know who their true God is. They brought these magicians and tied them to trees and they started to cut them up limb by limb. And you know what the magicians did, subhanAllah, because they knew the truth at that point, they said, oh Pharaoh, you can only torture us in this world and oppress us, but the hereafter you have no possession over it. We have believed in the Lord of Moses, so do whatever you want. And they were martyrs, subhanAllah, the magicians, how they turned. And it shows no matter how far you go in life and how bad you become, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always welcome you and welcome you back when you believe in Him. And Allah forgives all sins, subhanAllah. This is the story of the magicians. The story goes on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him at least 9 miracles and signs to Pharaoh to release the children of Israel. He sent him such as frogs everywhere in their homes, in their pottery, in their beds, everything. They turned the Nile into blood. Whenever they come to take water from the Nile, it turned into blood. The nits and lice went into their hair, in their beds, in their children, everywhere. And every time Moses would come back and Pharaoh would say, ask your Lord to release. SubhanAllah, he would say, ask your Lord, because they believed in deities, many, many different gods. And Pharaoh believed he was God incarnate himself. So he was one of the deities. That's why he says, I do not know any other God but me, meaning no other sovereign, no other Lord that has the power to command you. Although they believed in many, many gods, as we can see from the hieroglyphics. And he said, ask your Lord to release me. And so every time the miracles would go, another one would come back and Pharaoh would go again and lie again and lie again. Until finally, after the 9th miracle, there was a plague and there was a lot of other things. Until finally he said, okay, I will release them. And so he released the children of Israel, but it was only a tactic. Moses and Harun, alayhim as-salam, they took the children of Israel and they released them. There were more than 70,000, more, Allahu alam, Allah only knows, maybe hundreds of thousands who followed Moses, and they went until they reached a sea. It is said, we don't know what sea it is in the Quran, but it is most likely the Red Sea, according to the biblical narrations and also the words of the companions in our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It seems like it's the Red Sea. When they reached the Red Sea, they found that the Pharaoh had lied to them. And he took all his soldiers and followed them to kill them at the Red Sea. It was a massacre. It was going to be a massacre to gather them in one little place and to destroy them all. And he even used words like, these are all extremists in their own language. Moses is the leader of the extremists. In today's terms, you might say terrorists, you might say words of fundamentalists or whatever you want to call. If you want to annihilate someone, call them bad names and make the whole world think that they are evil. And that's exactly what Pharaoh did to the children of Israel. He said, they are evil. They want to take over your land. They want to take your beliefs. And this Moses wants to do this and that. So when he followed them right at the Red Sea, they said, oh Moses, the people, he has followed us, about to get us. Where is the promise of God? And Allah said to him, hit the sea with your staff. And so he hit the sea with his staff and the sea opened up. Allah says this in the Quran, like two big mountains. And he ordered them to go through. They all went through, as you all know, the same story. And then Pharaoh went in with his soldiers and then suddenly the sea closed on them and Pharaoh and his soldiers with Haman his vizier all perished in the sea and drowned. Pharaoh, while he was drowning, he said, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us this, that Pharaoh said while he was drowning, I believe in the Lord of Moses and the Lord of Aaron. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is actually in the Quran, it's actually in the Quran, he says, I believe in the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Allah says, Al-ana wa qad asayta min qabl. Now you want to believe while you were an arrogant disbeliever in the beginning. Instead of accepting your belief and your repentance, we will save your body so that you may be a sign for people who come later on. Why didn't Allah accept his repentance? Because repentance is not accepted when the soul reaches the gargling point. He had reached the end of his death and he was trying to do a trick. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, we'll save your body. Inshallah, we'll finish the story another time. I hope you enjoyed this little summary. Please make dua for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and everywhere around the world. We are here on a tour, inshallah, with MATW to help the Palestinian refugees and other orphans who are in Egypt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your donations and your dua. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.